It says in the Bible that everybody falls short of the glory of God. And it's not lying. Everybody falls short. Every single person in this room has fallen short before. It's not easy to try to live a life sinless. It's so hard, it's impossible. Only one person's ever done that, and that was God's Son.
Hey, this is Andrew, the pastor of Ellick Southern Baptist Chapel. I want to thank you so much for listening to this sermon, and I hope that you will join us soon. Feel free to contact us with any questions or with any needs, and we look forward to meeting you soon.
So when I was in elementary school, before the new one was built, before all the fancy stuff was added, we used to have this playground. Now, there was only like two main things on this playground that everybody wanted to do. There was like a horizontal tire swing that would just spin around and we'd get killed on. Like we'd have like eight people on that thing just spinning as fast as we could just to see if it could last longer. And then we had a big steel or aluminum metal slide that bottomed out and then went like 45 degrees straight up. Now, your first thought when you walk up to a slide is you're going to go down it, not us. We decided that it was a good idea to all try to climb up the slide and make it to the top of the playground. Well, when you have a bunch of little kindergartners and pre-Kers trying to climb up a really steep, smooth metal slide, there's going to be a lot of them falling, getting burnt at the bottom because that thing would get hot in the sun. I'd probably have burns on my thighs still if it was still around. But we would all try to climb up that slide, and it wasn't easy. We could have walked around the side, climbed up the little ladder, and slid down to our heart's content, but we wanted the challenge. We wanted to see if we could all get to the top. It wasn't easy, but the best thing about that is when we finally got to the top, we felt like we were on top of the world. We felt like we just done something amazing. And that's kind of what Jesus is telling us to do in this passage. I'm just going to like dissect it here. It says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy. That leads to destruction." That's basically saying that the world is going to give you so many things that seem easy. It's going to give you an easy way out every single time. The easy way out always leads to destruction. The easy way out is always going to be your downfall. I'm not saying that just because it's easy doesn't mean it's good. I'm saying that anything really worth having might not be easy always. Think about if you're trying to play a sport. For example, I run track in the spring. If I decided I was going to sit around every day, not do anything, just lay around in the house and then run track whenever practice started, I wouldn't get any better at track. I wouldn't run any faster, jump any higher, do any of that stuff if I just decided to sit around. It'd be easier to sit around, sure, but just because I would sit around and it was easy doesn't mean I would get anything out of it at all. Now, let's say I work out during my spare time. I start doing more sleds, start doing more, just get in the weight room more, start running more. I'd improve so much more. I'd be better. I'd run faster, jump higher, do all those things just because I took the hard way. Now, look at the second part of that verse. It says, "For the gate is narrow and is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." God's giving us a chance here. He's giving us a choice. We can either go the easy way, which is a wide, plentiful path that's smooth, it's nice, it's be a perfect thing to walk down, except at the end of that path is destruction. At the end of that path is death. Or we can go down the narrow path, the harder one, the bumpier one, the thing that would make you better, but not a lot of people want to do it. We went to Washington, D.C. for TSA this year. I think our little school of ELEC took probably 50 kids to Washington, D.C., which that's unheard of anywhere else, that a small school like us would be taking 50 kids to national competitions. Like, when we get up there, there are schools that you don't even heard of. There's like tech schools, and all they do is just practice for that competition. And our little school, who maybe work on it a few hours a day, we took 50 kids, which is a big deal. But I'm going to use an example. Our chapter team, which won nationals, consisted of me, Kendall, Luke, Ryder, Kaysen, and Jaden. We went to state thinking, we competed in it the year before last, but I don't know, it was just new. We thought we were just gonna see what it was about and we'd take it seriously next year. Well, the next year came and we did take it seriously. We went to state and we got second, which I don't think any of us were very happy about. And after that, at least me, I started studying for the test that you had to take. I started studying. It wasn't easy to study because I was missing out on all that free time we had. It wasn't easy to do any of that. It wasn't easy to get into that room full of all the judges and do our competition. It's nerve-wracking when you get in there. It really is. But we did it. We went through all that. We studied. We practiced in our off time. We probably practiced like 3 days a week for like 3 weeks at one point. We practiced, we put the work in, and we won nationals. That's what going down the hard path gets you. It's not always going to be easy, but if you put the time and effort into doing it, you'll be so much better through it. This all ties into your walk with God. Think about if you go the hard way. The hard way is maybe you see that guy at school for the youth. Maybe you see him at school and he's getting picked on or he's getting bullied and you step in for him and you back him up. That's not easy because maybe the person picking on him is your friend or maybe the person picking on him you're scared of. It's not easy. Being kind isn't always easy. Doing the right thing isn't always easy. Seeing someone sitting alone isn't always easy. If you're walking through your day-to-day life and you see someone who might not know Christ, it's not easy to bring them up in a conversation and say, hey, I know a guy. His name's Jesus, and he's died for our sins, and you need to follow him too. It's not easy to do that. But it is easy to walk a life full of sin because sin is everywhere around us. Sin is behind every corner you turn around. Sin is everywhere at every time. It says in the Bible that everybody falls short of the glory of God. And it's not lying. Everybody falls short. Every single person in this room has fallen short before. It's not easy to try to live a life sinless. It's so hard, it's impossible. Only one person has ever done that, and that was God's Son. And I doubt he lived a very easy life too. Jesus was born in a manger. He was born into a... In his younger years, he practiced carpentry with his father because in that time that sons would practice the trade of their father, so Jesus was a carpenter. Now, whenever Jesus started traveling, he healed. He performed miracles. He did all of this, and he had a massive following behind him. You heard of the 12 disciples, but there were thousands and thousands more people following Jesus at that time. Now, all of those people saw what Jesus did. All of those people witnessed his miracles. All of those people saw how good Jesus was. Yet still, they turned against him, his own people. They looked at him as a threat. So they crucified him. They had him carry his own cross. They had him hang up on the cross. They put nails through his wrists and his ankles, put a spear through his side. Let me tell you, I don't think that was easy. I don't think it was easy to have all of this, all of these people following you just to have them turn on you like that. Just to have them turn on you. That wasn't easy, but Jesus knew it wasn't. Jesus knew God's plan. Jesus knew he had to do it. We know that we have to follow him. We know that instead of living a life full of sin, instead of walking that easy path, instead of going down the easy way, taking the easy way out every time, we know that we have to sometimes take the harder way. Now, I'm not saying being a Christian is this most difficult thing to do in the whole world. It's not. It's sometimes difficult. Yeah, when you're trying to encourage others and be kind to others, that's difficult. But you live happier. You live carefree. Well, not carefree, but you live happier. You live more Christ-like in a way. Whenever you're a Christian, you start seeing the world differently. But it's not always going to be easy. It's so hard. The world is so hard on Christians because the world is against it. Because the Bible says God and the world are separated. The world's always going to try to get you down. The world's always going to try to bring you down with it. It's not easy. The world tries to bring you down every chance it gets, just like the slide. Once you get halfway up that slide, you might slip and fall right back down to the bottom. Get halfway up again, slip, fall right back down to the bottom. But the good thing about that is you keep getting to try. And that's what Jesus gives us here. Just because Jesus died on the cross for our sins, took away everything, and gave us an opportunity to be forgiven. Just because we fall back down that slide doesn't mean can't try again. And eventually, we're going to get help up that slide. If you believe that Jesus died for our sins, was hung up on the cross, got laid in a tomb, and 3 days later, risen out of that grave, he's going to help you up that slide one day. He's going to give you the push you need to get to the very top. I remember the first day in kindergarten when I finally made it up that slide. I don't know why I remember it so vividly, but I do. I guess it was a pretty monumental moment in my life, I guess. I started back. I ran up to that slide, and I reached, fell back down. Did a couple more times, and finally I got a good hold in the middle. And I reached up, and I grabbed that handle on the end and pulled myself up. And man, I felt amazing. I felt like I was above every other little kid trying to get up that slide. I felt so good. The same feeling I got whenever I was baptized, right here. It was the same feeling. I got plunged into that water. I got plunged into that water, held there for a little bit, and then once I came out, it looked a little different. I started seeing things a little bit differently. It was brighter. It was full of life. Now, that feeling I got when I was baptized, I remember a little better than I remember the slide. But just because I was a sinner, I was imperfect, I was disobeying God's word, didn't mean I couldn't be forgiven. That doesn't mean that you can't be forgiven. Just because you've messed up, just because you've been, I don't know, you've been imperfect, you've fallen into addiction, you've got a cussing habit. I don't know. Any sin that you can think of, just because you're there doesn't mean that you can't be forgiven. It's not easy to go to God and say, God, look, I've done wrong. I've sinned. I haven't been who you want me to be lately. Just take it all away from me, Lord, and forgive me. It's not easy to do that. It's not an easy prayer to pray. But if you get through that prayer, you'll come out like I came out of that water that day. You'll come out like I felt when I asked Jesus to be my Savior a month before that. You'll come out like how I felt whenever God asked me to come down to the altar at False Creek and go to ministry. You'll come out so fulfilled in your life. You'll come out like you're a brand new man. You'll come out like you're a champion. And that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to get through that hard part. He wants you to push through that hard boundary. He wants you to jump over that high hurdle. He wants you to get through there. And you'll be better because of it. There's a man in the Bible. His name was Saul. Saul persecuted Christians. Saul hated Christians with a passion. He went around killing, murdering, imprisoning, stoning every Christian he came across. He did not like us. But one day, Paul was riding down the road to Damascus. He was just riding down, and he saw a man. And the man was Jesus. He found Jesus. And after Saul found Jesus, Jesus said, "Your name is now Paul." And then he was one of his closest followers. The Apostle Paul was one of his closest followers. Paul went to be one of the greatest missionaries ever. He went around. If you look in your Bible where Paul says, I'm not sure, but there's probably a map somewhere, and it has all of his different journeys and mission trips. I always thought that map was kind of interesting because just because it's that little on paper, those roads and trails and journeys are thousands of miles long. And back then, it wasn't easy to get thousands of miles across. Nowadays, we just take a plane and take the easy way out. But back then, they would walk, they would take a carriage, they would struggle to get 1,000 miles across. But he did it anyway. He spread the word. He did what God told him to do. It wasn't easy, sure. He traveled those roads the hard way. Paul was persecuted for being a Christian, but he lived a life that God wanted him to live. And that's, I feel, what we should model ourselves from. We should look at ourselves like Paul. We're sinners. We've gone down the wrong road. We've gone down the easy road for our whole lives. We've wandered thousands and thousands of miles down the easy road. But just because you're on the easy road doesn't mean the road to God isn't just a hop into the woods and then you're on the road to God. It's a quick prayer. You just have to ask God for your forgiveness. You'll feel so much better afterwards. It's kind of like coming out of that water. Once you ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, you'll feel so much better about yourself. It's not easy to go up to him and ask. But once you do, you will feel the most fulfilled you've ever been in your life. Kind of like how I felt when I finally got up that slide. Pray with me.